the Employee Free Choice Act now. The Democratic National Committee statement put out a statement today.
Three more American soldiers have been killed after their combat patrol was hit by a roadside bomb in northern Baghdad. Meanwhile, Iraqi President Jalal Talabani, a Kurd, is rejecting the Baker-Hamilton report, calling it very dangerous to Iraq's sovereignty and constitution. Problems in Baghdad for Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. His office denies he's on the way out, but CNN reports that there could be a reshuffling of the Iraqi leadership. Mixed reaction in Chile to the death of former dictator Augusto Pinochet, who died yesterday at the age of 91 without ever having to face trial for human rights abuses. Many celebrated in Santiago's major plaza by waving flags and drinking champagne, while others who gathered at the hospital where he died mourned his death. There were also some violent outbursts, but they were quickly put down by Chilean police. There will be a military funeral for Pinochet tomorrow. In Gaza, three children of a senior Palestinian intelligence officer killed in an attack on the car in which they were riding today. Their father, a loyalist of President Mahmoud Abbas's Fatah movement, is blaming Hamas, though the rival party has denounced the attack. A huge rally in downtown Beirut yesterday by hundreds of thousands of Hezbollah supporters calling for the resignation of Lebanese Prime Minister Fahd Sinoura in favor of a unity government in which Hezbollah would have a larger role. Hezbollah leaders say Sinoura must leave within a few days or face an escalating campaign to oust him, but he is vowing to remain in office. France and Britain have planned to introduce a revised UN Security Council draft resolution today imposing sanctions on Iran for refusing to suspend its uranium enrichment program, but whether Russia and China will accept the new text is unclear, and either of them can veto the proposal. China has announced that the long-stalled six-party talks on North Korea's nuclear program will resume in Beijing on December 18th. Embattled New Orleans Congressman William Jefferson, who's been under investigation for the past 21 months by the federal government for corruption but has never been charged, has won re-election to his seat in the House, receiving 57% of the vote in Saturday's runoff. Seattle Tacoma International Airport has removed 9 decorated Christmas trees because of the threat of a suit by an area rabbi if they did not add a menorah to their giant holiday display. He says it was his intention to add lights rather than have the trees removed. SeaTac authorities say they were concerned about having to add symbols from other religions and cultures, so are removing everything and will revisit their policy after the first of the year. And another typhoon swept through the Philippines today, killing at least 4 and stranding thousands of people, also disrupting power lines and communication links. This is QNN Business and Science coming up.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Another E. coli outbreak, this one in Iowa, but it is not connected to Taco Bell's, but to another taco chain. Meanwhile, authorities are still trying to pinpoint the source of the E. coli cases in the Northeast, which are connected to Taco Bell's and which have sickened more than 60 people, that happening in late November. The Space Shuttle Discovery docks with the International Space Station today. The J. Paul Getty Museum in Los Angeles has announced that it will return an ancient gold wreath and a marble bust to Greece, items that Greece claims were illegally excavated and removed from that country. Travelocity may be sold this week. The New York Times says that the travel website's parent company, Sabre Holdings, is talking with a consortium of private equity firms, price tag around $4 billion. The Sunday Times of London reports that the bidding for the Aston Martin unit of Ford Motor Company could reach $1.2 billion with the entry now of a Syrian-born billionaire to the shortlist of potential buyers. The Aston Martin, of course, made famous by James Bond and is prominently featured in the current Bond film, Casino Royale. And 8 foreign banks have applied for licenses to operate retail businesses branches in China using Chinese currency. 71 foreign banks have branches in China, but until now have been limited to handling foreign currency business only. Gold is trading at $630.50 an ounce, down 50 cents, and light sweet crude down 64 cents a barrel, trading at $61.39. All the markets are higher on Wall Street. The Dow is up 28 points, the NASDAQ is up 12, and the S&P 500 is up 4. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 past the hour.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, thank you, Bob, and it's a beautiful day here in Chicago. A little bit overcast. It was actually a little warm last night as I was coming home from work. Yes, I worked on Sunday. How is everybody doing out there? Like I said, it's a beautiful day, and I'm proud to be here in the Windy City in wonderful Chicago. We got football tonight between the Bears and the Rams. The Bears are the best team in the NFC. Yeah, I know, it's sports. You know, a lot of lefties, get down on sports altogether, and they have good reasons for doing so. But I, for one, can never just let it go. How is everybody this fine, wonderful Monday morning? Ready to start the work week? And if you're listening at work, good. Take a couple hours off and listen to my show. If your boss says anything, tell him I said he can go screw, or she can go screw. Slack off at work. That's my attitude. I actually had a pretty crappy weekend. It started Friday night. Now, I work from 3 to 11. Those are my normal hours, and my normal days off are Wednesdays and Saturdays. And although generally I work Wednesdays too anyway, what the hell? Get a couple extra hours in a week, right? And, at 9:50 an hour, you need everything you can get. And I was working there on Friday, and they asked me to work on Saturday. If I would work on Saturday. And usually I don't work on Saturdays. Because if you work on the weekend at my company, and I work Sundays, if you work on the weekend, you have to work a day shift. There's no second shift. There's no 3 to 11 shift on the weekends. So working Saturday means I get off at 11 o'clock. It takes me about an hour and a half to get home. And I get home so around 12:30 or so. And then I have to, turn around and get up at 5 o'clock. I leave here at 5:30 to get to work on time at 7 o'clock in the morning. So I'm like, I'm not really going to do that. But what I thought, maybe what I'll do is I'll work a double shift. I'll just work two shifts in a row, and that way I'll fulfill my Saturday requirement and not have to worry about it. So I get in there, and I'm working, and that's my boss about it. And he said, yeah, sure, no problem. It's not a big deal. And he's like, are you sure you want to do that? I said, yeah, I can, I can do 16 hours at a time. It's not like my job is really, physically demanding. Because to be honest, it's not. I scan pages for a living. I mean, I just sit there and shove pages in a scanner. And sometimes it's a pain in the butt, and sometimes it's not, depending on the project, but still. And I get there, and it's 11 o'clock or so, and the lady who's in charge of the night shift said, you sure you want to stay all night? And I said, and he said, well, we like to play the radio. And then sometimes they play the radio on the weekend, and I figured, they're just going to play it, and not too bad. And I said, well, I don't like it much, but I can tolerate it. And it gets to around 1 o'clock or so, and I go to the restroom, and I come back, and the radio is on, but it's blasting. It's full tilt. I don't just mean, just a little bit. I mean, I don't know if it was full or not. I didn't look at the dial, but it was loud, okay? And the radio was, like, right near where my station was. And I go and says, I don't mind having the music, but that's just way too loud. And she said, well, I'm sorry, that's the way we do things here, We're not going to change our policy just for you. Which annoyed me, obviously. And she gave me either two choices. She said I could move my seat, which it really wouldn't have made any difference because the damn thing was so loud that it would have been pretty loud anywhere I went, or I can just go home. And so I chose to go home. I said, I'm not dealing with this. And I wanted to get in on Saturday, I figured I'd just come a little bit later on Saturday because I worked a couple hours into the shift. But I didn't set my alarm, so I slept through that. I actually woke up around 1 o'clock. Not a great sleep either. And I went with my roommate. We went out. We got something to eat at the Hot Rod Grill, one of the nice little places we have in here. Just a little hole-in-the-wall type of diner where you get a great breakfast for under $10. And then I came home, and it was about 4 o'clock, I guess, and I took a nap, and I woke up at around 8 o'clock, and I was up all night because I had to go to work again on Sunday at 5:30 in the morning, and I left the house, and I went to work. And actually, because of the train service is different on Sunday, and it gets and I missed one bus, I got to work a little bit late, about 7:30. They don't mind that so much because they know it's a hassle on the weekends. And I actually wound up staying until like 4:30 because I wanted to get wanted to finish up a project. I'm one of those types of people that hates to leave something undone, and I have to do that sometimes during the regular shift because I can't leave past 11 o'clock. Actually, I got to leave the place at around 10:45 because if I miss my train, I take a chance on missing my last bus, and I don't want to do that. And that's actually what I wound up having to do when I left work on Saturday morning, late Friday, early Saturday, is I took the bus as far as I could go, and I wound up having to take a cab the rest of the way because the buses don't run that late. So I was not very happy about it, and, you know, I could talk to my boss about it, but it really doesn't matter because the third shift people are going to do what the third shift people do, and I do not want to be, you know, branded as the guy that, you know, is against the music and stuff like that. Maybe somebody might make a racial thing out of it because it's rap music. I work mostly with people of color, and I don't particularly like rap music. But so long, it really doesn't make any difference what kind of music it was. I don't like listening to music when I work. Period. It's a distraction for me. I like to concentrate on what I'm doing, or just sit and think while I'm working. And it wasn't so much the music itself; it was just the fact that it was so damn loud. But you don't want, you know, if any of you have been in this situation, you understand exactly what I'm talking about, where there's something that goes on at work. It's not necessarily policy, or sometimes it's even against official company policy, but it's something that everybody does anyway. And anybody who says anything against it, well, you know, that person is automatically an outcast. And I don't want to have any part of being that. So I'm just not going to work any more double shifts. But of course, they were still wrong. I mean, if you have a situation where you have something like that really upsets somebody, that keeps them from working, that makes it so bad that they have to leave the shift, then that's just plain wrong. But there are realities to the workplace that sometimes you just have to put up with. So, you do what you can. And I still managed to get in a couple hours extra overtime anyway. And I still put in, I worked a little later on Sunday too. Sunday's about the only day I can do that. I really wish they would have a night shift at work though. That would help me out a lot. I really hate getting up in the morning. I'm not a morning person. I never have been, since as far as I can recall anyway. I didn't like even going to school when I was a kid. When I was in high school, there was an early morning class and I would always miss because I'd always sleep late a little bit. Because I like being up late. I get a lot of stuff done late at night because it's quiet and everybody else is asleep. Maybe that's why I'm so antisocial, that I'm just used to being off on my own. I'm just not the type that likes company and stuff like that. But it was a pretty crappy weekend overall, and it finally ended last night. And I got home around 6 o'clock or so because I stopped off at the supermarket to grab a loaf of bread. And then I just came home and I watched a little bit of football and fell asleep around 8 o'clock. Woke up at around 3 in the morning, was up for about 2 hours and fell back asleep and got up in time to do the show. And now you have the rest of the story. And now you have, we're coming close to the end of our first break here. What a way to kill 10 minutes or so. Hey, give me a call if you want to talk about anything like that. I got some other things going on today that I want to talk about. Nothing particular, as always, because, you know, I am, as I say, the least prepared host here on the Head End Radio Network, and I take pride in that. But the number to call in if you want to call in is 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And we've got a Beatles break coming up, and we'll be back with more in the Cup of Joe Radio Show. We'll be right back.
there's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, and we're back here. Beetle break is over. How is everybody doing this afternoon? I'm Joe Vecchio, and you're not. As Chevy Chase used to say on Weekend Update, hi, I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not. How's everybody doing today? You know, thinking about Weekend Update, that was the first time that I can recall that they were doing parody news on television. Maybe there was something before that. I think Steve Allen used to do some goofy stuff on his show, but that was the first time I can recall seeing parody news on television. And what was done in humor? Hang on a second. Excuse me. What was being done in humor back then is now, sadly, the state of regular American journalism. I mean, it's just ridiculous coverage of events. And now, of course, we have The Daily Show and The Colbert Report, and, you know, those guys are wonderful. And it really says something about the state of affairs of American journalism when the best news you're going to get are from parody sources. Daily Show and Colbert Report, as I said, on television, and in the print media, you've got The Onion, which does the news better than anybody else. You know, you can almost take a look at it. Is this a real report or not? You can't tell anymore. And it really is a sad state of affairs in America. There's a couple of fronts, a couple of things that were going on. There are still a few good columnists and stuff like that. Paul Krugman of the New York Times had an excellent column today talking about, how the Bush administration loves to outsource stuff to private industries, which of course do not do a better job than the government in certain areas. Just ask the victims of Hurricane Katrina how well the private contractors handled that disaster. You know, the whole problem is that you have people running government who hate the very idea of government. And the worst problem is that you have a press that absolutely refuses to report on it. And what is the press doing a lot of lately? They've been bitching and moaning about the bloggers. There was a it was an article on COS today. Actually, it was a front page thing, and it was from Meet the Press. And there they are. They're complaining about all, you know, lack of blogger accountability. And what I like is that they took a post that was heavily sarcastic and meant to be heavily sarcastic and obviously sarcastic from mydd.com. I guess that's the website. It's not one of the ones I regularly read. And they made it sound like that was what they were actually, you know, saying. Let's see. Let me read what Coase had to say. Yeah, John Carroll, who was the guy on Meet the Press, you know, bemoaning all this lack of accountability. Intrepid investigative reporter and professor of journalism at Boston University, where standards are obviously slipping, reported that Bowers, Stoller, and Shields were all Jerome Armstrong. It was the guy was posting that he was sarcastically saying that, yeah, everybody on the site was Jerome Armstrong, you know, just making fun of it. And again, it's kind of a long story, but they were wrong about it. I mean, it was a sarcastic post. You know, the blogger was writing about how, you know, the press is bitching about, you know, lack of accountability and about all these guys are just people writing under different aliases. Oh, yeah, yeah. I was Jerome Armstrong. Jerome Armstrong does my DD. I was Jerome Armstrong, and I wrote under aliases on all these other places. Yeah, yeah, that's it. That's the ticket. He was being sarcastic. And then they get on TV and, you know, and him and Emily Rooney and Mark Mills and Joe Carroll and Joe Satchia and Charlie Crossley and Jared Bowen, they're all sitting there and, oh, it's so horrible. There's no accountability. It's all those bloggers. And, of course, all they're really doing is pointing at their own irrelevance. Their own irrelevance. Because that's what the so-called professional media is facing right now. You can't be lying to people for that long. I was looking on Bart Kopp, and this is really funny because he posted this is a quote from a USA Today editorial. Okay, has the president so failed in his duties to the nation that he should leave office? The answer to that question is yes, and the time for the president to leave is not after months of continued national embarrassment, but now. Now, guess what president they were saying that about? Bill Clinton. That was back on September 15th, 1998. That's what they were saying about Bill Clinton. Now today, and this is on BartCop.com, today America is saddled with an unbelievably corrupt occupant in the White House. Bush is guilty of a long list of serious crimes, from torture to lying America into a war. And what's the U.S. media's reaction to all this? Silence. Not one major newspaper has called for Bush to resign. Not one major newspaper has called for Bush to resign. Now, what was it that the USA Today wanted Bill Clinton to resign for? Of course, he got a blowjob in office and tried to finesse his way around it. And he was, of course, being hounded by a well-paid and still active right-wing political propaganda machine that constantly was trying to find a reason to get this guy out of office, and they were busy just parroting what those guys said. But here we have a president who sends almost 3,000 U.S. soldiers to their deaths, murders hundreds of thousands of Iraqis. Hang on a second. Who has basically destroyed America, destroyed our moral standing around the world, made us look bad, makes me look bad because I'm embarrassed to say I'm an American now sometimes. And what does the major press say about it? Nothing. You know, I was joking with my roommate the other day, and I said, you know, if we reported the weather the way they report the news, we'd be in serious trouble. Because, well, you know, we can't say it's stormy skies out there because that might spoil the picnic. And everybody wants to have a good picnic, and our ratings might go down if we say there's bad weather. So we're just not going to say that. And you know that would make the president of our company look bad if we said there was bad weather. So the weather's always sunny. It's sunny and 70 degrees out in Chicago. All those people taking their coats are just terrorists. They hate America. Imagine if they reported sports the way they report the news. Well, I think the Bears won this weekend, but John here thinks they lost. What do you think? Give us a call. Sports by opinion. Sports by opinion. Weather by opinion. I say it's 74 degrees outside, while Sam here says it's 62. Who's right? It doesn't matter. We're just going to report both sides of the story. That's the news. Never mind looking at the damn thermometer. Never mind telling the truth. And they got the balls to sit there and go on national TV. And of course, that's the real strength that they have, is they get to reach a lot more people. They get to go on national TV and sit there and bemoan all the lack of accountability. All the stuff, those of us who were against the war in Iraq, and I'm going to use this example in particular. All of us who were against the war in Iraq were absolutely 100% right about what the outcome was going to be. And all the people who are paid six figures or more, who cheered on this war and dismissed us all as being radicals, crazies, dirty frickin' hippies. Ew, hoopies. Say that right, Joe. All of them who accused us of being all those things, they were wrong. They were just wrong. They should resign. All of them should just resign, en masse. You shouldn't be so blatantly, clearly wrong about something so important and be allowed to keep your job. I'm sorry, but that's the plain truth. Bush not only should resign, he ought to be arrested. He and his administration and the Republican leadership ought to be forced from power. They ought to be placed on trial, and if necessary, sent to prison. In the case of Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney and Mr. Rumsfeld and all these other people, they're guilty of war crimes. Will you hear the press speak of this? No. The press, as you remember, laughed along with Mr. Bush in his little joke about searching for WMDs in the White House and the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He sent thousands of soldiers to his death, and he makes jokes about it. And what does the press scream bloody murder about? About John Kerry making a joke about Bush that they misinterpret as being a joke about the soldiers. And the point is, it's not a question of whether or not Kerry told the joke badly or told a bad joke. It really doesn't make any difference. It's that there's a double standard for people like him than there is for the president. Oh, we like this president. He's a straight talker. Or yes, he is. He's not going to change his mind no matter how wrong he is. Was it that one comedian who said he's a man that doesn't change his mind between Monday and Wednesday regardless of what happened on Tuesday? I think that was Stephen Colbert that said that. And, you know, that's the way it is. They like Bush more. And so they're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And it seems to me, regardless of what they do. Now, if we ever do wind up getting to the point where we put these guys on trial for war crimes, leaders of the American press ought to be placed in the docket with them. Because, quite frankly, they're just as responsible for a lot of the stuff that's happening simply by allowing it to happen and by not reporting the news. Well, the government says the war is good and some dirty freaking hippies say the war is bad, and that's all you need to know. We're going to be hanging out here with the soldiers and not really going into battle, but just seeing what's going on, and we're just going to report on that. Are you going to talk to UN people saying, you know, there really weren't any WMDs in there, and was Saddam Hussein who threw the inspectors, excuse me, was George Bush who threw the inspectors out, us out, and not Saddam Hussein? We really wish you would say that. Oh, you can't say that. Dirty friggin' European. He doesn't matter. George Bush to the cider says that everything's going fine. Apparently, a member of the British press asked Bush over the weekend whether or not he's capable of admitting any failures. And Bush couldn't answer him. Oh, geez. Okay. Let's take another break. It's bottom of the hour. Give me a call. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HIT-OFF. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff, did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything.
Yeah!
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here in the Cup of Joe Radio Show. As the song says, call me. Give me a call, 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON, and that's the number to call for, I think, pretty much all of your shows here on the Head On Radio Network, and I'm proud to be part of this. The new wave of liberal talk throughout the country, and doing our best to counter the propaganda on the right. And what's the difference between what we do and the right wing does? The big difference is, of course, that we're not going to lie to you. At least I'm not going to lie to you. I may not be right about everything, I don't necessarily expect you to agree with me about everything that I have to say. But I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not just going to say stuff for the sake of ratings. I'm not going to say stuff for the sake of just making you upset. If I say something on this show, I say it because I believe it. Because I believe it's true. And because I feel strongly enough about it to get on a microphone and to send it out over the internet airwaves for as long as we possibly can. Until the vast right-wing conspiracy finds a way to shut us down. I really doubt they can do that. The technology just simply won't permit it that easily. We'll always find ways around it. There will always be people who find ways around it. And thankfully, with the new Democratic Congress, I believe that net neutrality is going to be the key word of the day. What was I talking about? I was talking about just the press in general. And I came across this article from ConsortiumNews.com by Robert Parry. And it's a really, really great website. It's just ConsortiumNews.com. ConsortiumNews.com. And he was writing about Gary Webb. Now, for those of you who don't remember, Gary Webb was the reporter for the San Jose Mercury News, who really broke the Iran-Contra story. And the story he wrote about was how the CIA was looking the other way, whereas Contras, the Contras, who we were supporting, were slinging drugs into Los Angeles, crack cocaine, basically. It was I don't know if it was the beginning of the crack cocaine epidemic, but it was a real important factor of it. And he was speaking of the CIA's role in that. Not a direct role, and, Washington's role in that. And again, not a direct role. It was the Contras that were doing this stuff, not the CIA or Washington. However, they were knowledgeable about it. They were aware of it. And who was it that destroyed Gary Webb? It wasn't the government or the CIA. They didn't have to. It was his colleagues in the so-called professional media. Drove him out of the business, drove him, in fact, to suicide. And what did Mr. Webb dare to do? He dared to tell the truth. And the truth was that the government and the CIA were, by their negligent actions, or just intentionally doing damage to Americans for political gain. Like with Operation Northwoods. This we got light of several years ago. ABC News even, those scumbags at ABC even had the report on that. And Operation Northwoods was back in the early 60s when Kennedy was president, and chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I forget the general's name, several other high-ranking military people and some people in defense industries, what they wanted to do, and they actually sent a letter to Kennedy about it saying, this is what we should do. We want to have terrorist attacks within the United States. We want to do them ourselves. Hijack a plane, or there was a discussion that they would blow up one of the rockets lifting from Cape Canaveral. And blame it on Cuba as a pretense for invading Cuba. They wanted to do this. Because, God forbid, they should leave Cuba alone. Our just irrational fear, our phobia about communist leaders has led us into more troubles than anything else. I mean, it was that irrational fear that led us to overthrow Iran in the 40s and 50s in favor of the Shah, who was a bastard and who finally himself got kicked out. It was our own pathological fear of communism that allowed us to support dictators like Noriega or Pinochet, who, according to, just died yesterday. Now, these criminals almost never be held accountable for their crimes. Noriega lived out the rest of his life in peace and quiet. He wasn't president of the Philippines anymore, but... Was it Noriega? That's not the right name. That wasn't Noriega. Noriega was in Panama. What the hell was the guy's name in the Philippines? You know who I'm talking about. Zach, if you can see me, tell me the guy's name, huh? Do research quick. Excuse me. Trying to take a drink here. Zach doesn't know. Marcos! That was the guy's name, Marcos, and his wife Imelda with all the shoes. That was, of course, everybody reported, oh, she had lots of shoes. And all the fashion was, all the fashion people were like, oh, shoes. Oh, look at the shoes. Oh, oh, oh. You know, he murdered thousands of Filipinos during his years in office. But, oh, look at the shoes. Oh, oh. That's what our press is about. And that's why they hate bloggers. And that's why they hate Head On Radio Network, because, you know, we're not gonna give you that corporate crap. We're gonna tell you the truth. And the truth is that for many years, agents within our own government have been acting in directly against the American people in many ways. And almost all of it is corporate driven. Now, there have been, you know, bad socialist governments. There are, you know, certainly communist governments are bad. But all the problems that we've had in this country, all the big problems, have been caused by corporations. Whether we're talking about the Great Depression, World War I, World War II, these were caused by economic conditions brought about by people who were just too damn greedy for their own good. The Civil War was brought about by an aristocracy that not only wanted to keep their own slaves, but who wanted to expand slavery out into other areas. The problems that the British have in India were due to the big corporation, the East India Trading Company. And it's all greed. And, you know, I'm not, as people who know me know I'm not a particularly religious person, but there are some things in the Bible that I do rather like. And the biggest one is that love of money is the root of all evil. That's been misinterpreted over the years as saying money is the root of all evil. No, money is not the root of all evil. Love of money is the root of all evil. The desire for it, the money and the power that comes with it, and the power that and the money that comes with power. It's all one and the same. That is the root of all evil. And I absolutely wholeheartedly agree with that premise. And we see it working every day. You see it when you work every day. Just when you go out to work, in all the little things that you have to do, not because it makes any sense even from a business point of view, but because people above you like the power and the control that they have over you. And it's all because of money, and it's all because of power. And that's why, you know, when a big disaster like Katrina starts, private companies can't handle it well, because all private companies care about is making a profit. There's no profit to be made from disaster relief. There is no profit to be made from it. There was no profit to be made for them anyway, for any one single company to build the highways. I mean, that's a huge undertaking, costing much more money than it would be worth. But yet the Federal Highway Program greatly did a lot of great good for businesses. They really did. It's always a combination of things, people. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that everything government does is good and right and done the right way and efficient, because it's not always that way. But there's got to be a balance. Well, we got some people online who've been waiting, but we got a break coming up. Anybody else wants to call in, there's still a line or two open, I'm told. Give a call, 1-877-443-2366. We'll go right to the phones when we come back. This is the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Head on Radio with Bob Kincaid.
When? Somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number one? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well, Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network. Do you know what you
want? We are taking to the streets, sidewalks, paths, and parks across Canada in support of ALS research and to raise money to provide quality care for the thousands of Canadians living with ALS and their families. Please join us. Walk for ALS is a fun, family-friendly event occurring in more than 60 communities across Canada. We are walking because ALS is a devastating disease. The average life expectancy is only 2 to 5 years.
We are walking because every day, 2 to 3 Canadians die from ALS.
We are walking to provide hope.
We are walking for those who can't. Most people with ALS will lose the use of their legs in the first 2 years of the disease. What would you do while you still could? For more information or to register for the Walk for ALS, visit www.als.ca/walkforALS.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back here on the show, and let's just go right to the phones. We have my good friend Sarge on the line. Hey, Sarge, how are you?
Oh, doing pretty good, man. I had a really decent weekend.
Oh, good. I'm glad somebody did.
Well, I'll tell you why my weekend was so good.
Why was your weekend so good?
Friday morning, Dr. Mike Newcomb had my good friend and really one of my heroes, Jim Yancey, on his show on Nova M Radio. And Jeff Ferris, who does the show with Dr. Mike Newcomb, then decided to have Jim on his show on Saturday afternoon. And he had Jim on for an entire hour. And it's done a lot of good. It got us a lot of exposure. By the way, in case you don't know, Jim is the director of the Jackson County Community Services Coalition and one of the main people who is actually doing something for the people in the Katrina area. So,
and, of course, he is totally welcome to be on my show anytime he wants to be on.
Well, I will pass
that
on.
As long as I'm on the air, actually.
Okay. But I wanted to thank Dr. Mike Newcomb and especially Jeff Ferris for putting him on, because the more word that gets out on what's going on in the Katrina area, and I'm not talking about just Mississippi, although my emphasis is on Mississippi, But also New Orleans and the Louisiana Gulf Coast. It's not just New Orleans and Louisiana; it's the whole coast. So I wanted to commend them publicly and let them know how much I appreciate what they did. And Bob Kincaid, he's the one that actually got Jim the first interview, and thanks to Bob, it's really helped get Jim put into more air markets and people being able to hear what he is facing, fighting with these morons that is called FEMA and Haley Barbour and all these other nitwits that are in charge of this disaster. And by the disaster, I'm not talking about Katrina. I'm talking about the recovery.
Right. Well, of course, if Mr. Yancey wants, he can come on my show on Friday, and if he wants to talk more about that, he's perfectly welcome to.
I will pass it on to him. I sure will. I'm just really, I'm really thankful to everybody who's talking about what's going on down here, because the more voices that are raised telling about the obnoxious, ridiculous, unpatriotic stuff that's going on to the people in the Katrina area, the more light we shed on the abuses of this administration. And I really, really thank everybody who even takes the time in, if they're in the grocery store line and they turn around to the person behind them and say, did you hear what's going on down in the Katrina area, how bad those people have it? That helps. The word of mouth is the only thing that we're going to be able to get out other than liberal radio. So every time someone has Jim Yancey on, and you having them on would be a great, great benefit to him. But every time that the word gets out to somebody, that's just one more person that's becoming aware of what's going on. And it is so important. One of the biggest problems that we face in this country is that we are too greedy.
And we're too self-centered.
Right. Even right here, Jim Yancey made the statement on Saturday afternoon, and he's right. He went to Jackson on some business for the coalition, and he was shocked by the amount of apathy in Jackson, Mississippi, the state capital, about what is going on with the Katrina area. And even here in Columbia, where I live, which is, you know, we got hit by it, we went through it, and so we know what damage we suffered, and we suffered a pretty good bit. But the coast just made us look like we had a Sunday school picnic.
Mm-hmm.
But even here, the people are, you can mention it to them and they'll say, yeah, that's a shame, and that's about all you're gonna get out of them. And I have actually gone to the First Baptist Church, one of the people in the First Baptist Church here in Columbia, and asked them to get some money up, to get some volunteers up, and get down there and do some work and help these people out. Put your greedy Southern Baptist BS aside, and let's go down and let's help these people, because these are our American, our Mississippians that are suffering through this. And it is wrong. It is wrong for America. It's like in the song that Billy Shears did with me talking in it. But when I say we are making ourselves the laughing stock of the world, we're proving that we don't care about our country when we let this moronic group stay in power one more day. These people need to go out. Nancy Pelosi needs to get her act together. She needs to say, screw this idea of it's off the impeachment's off the table. These people need to go. They need to get their act together, or they need to go, because they are destroying our country. They're running our children, because look what they're doing to our education. Look what they're doing to everything that America stands for. They're gutting our Constitution. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if there is no such thing as impeachment without these guys going down. You cannot let these people escape impeachment and continue to have it. It needs.
Maybe we can get George Bush a blowjob. If we get him a blowjob, then maybe they'll think about it.
I'd like to give him something, but it ain't that. What I'd like to give him, I better not say on the air. But it's you know, it is a it. Well, I'll tell you what. If the man George Bush walked up to me and offered his hand to shake my hand, I would spit in his face and go to jail, because there's no way I would shake that sorry pile of garbage's hand. He, to me, is the lowest. I would rather shake the hand of a rat, a literal rat, than I would to be that lowlife. I don't even think this man has any right to be in civilized society. He needs to be done away with. He is a moron. He's crazy.
Well, the sad thing is that a moron like that should never have been put in a position of power to begin with. That's what really the sad thing is.
Well,
because there are guys like him all over the country. They just don't have any kind of power.
Right. It's family connection. It's like the aristocracy, you know. And this is something that America had better get away from. I don't care whether it's a good person like Bobby Kennedy, John Kennedy, I mean, these are good people, and I want to see those kind of people in power. But we got to forget the hero worship. Forget hero worship. It's like I was telling somebody, Walter Payton and I grew up together. I knew him since when he was a little boy. And I was in a discussion with someone, and it came out that about Walter, and I said, yes, I know Walter. I grew up with him, And I said, but now, let me warn you, Walter was not perfect. He was human, after all. And I told the story of something that Walter did that was less than flattering to Walter, although it was a true story, and it was something that has bugged me about Walter, and Walter knew it because I told him. And did you know somebody actually got mad at me for telling that story? And I said, wait just a minute, buddy. Don't you be telling me what I can or cannot say about Walter Payton, because I knew him personally. He was my friend. And
People don't want to have that image destroyed, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm tired of people thinking that Walter was perfect. Walter was not perfect. Walter was a hell of a nice guy, and I thought the world of him. But Walter was human. And don't put more on Walter, because you're not doing his family fair. You're not doing Walter's memory fair. Walter was a human being. And we've got to get away from this hero worship crap. And it's bad on both sides of the aisle. It's not restricted to Republicans, although they seem to have a... But it's just, you know, what we've got to do is, it's like this, my country right or wrong, forget it. My country wrong, we straighten it out. My country
exactly.
Right, we increase it. We cannot continue this mindset that America can make no mistake. America, Israel, I don't care who it is.
That's the difference between patriotism and nationalism, you know. A patriot loves his country, a nationalist thinks his country is the best in the world and don't say anything about it. Listen, Sarge, I hate to cut you off, and normally I'd let you go right through a break, but we're coming to the top of the hour, and I can't slow down the news here.
Thank you, Joe. Bye-bye.
So, Sarge, listen, I love you, you know, I support you all the way, and yeah, we'll talk, and we'll see if we can get Mr. Yancey on here on the show, because I do want to talk more about that issue. It's an important issue. And again, I hate cutting people off. I really, really do, because I love Sarge especially. He's a great spokesperson, but we got the news coming up. Top of the hour. We'll be back with the second hour of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
Quality News Network. In Iraq, three more American soldiers have been killed after their combat patrol was hit by a roadside bomb in northern Baghdad. Meanwhile, Iraqi President Jalal Talabani, a Kurd, is rejecting the Baker Hamilton report, calling it very dangerous to Iraq's sovereignty and constitution. Problems in Baghdad for Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. His office denies he's on the way out, but CNN reports that there could be a reshuffling of the Iraqi leadership. Mixed reaction in Chile to the death of former dictator Augusto Pinochet. He died yesterday at the age of 91 without ever having to face trial for human rights abuses. Many celebrated in Santiago's major plaza by waving flags and drinking champagne, while others, who gathered at the hospital where he died, mourned his death. There were also some violent outbursts, but they were quickly put down by Chilean police. There will be a military funeral for Pinochet tomorrow. In Gaza, three children of a senior Palestinian intelligence officer were killed in an attack on the car in which they were riding. Their father, a loyalist of President Mahmoud Abbas' Fatah movement, is blaming Hamas, though the rival party has denounced the attack. A huge rally in downtown Beirut yesterday by hundreds of thousands of Hezbollah supporters calling for the resignation of Lebanese Prime Minister Fouad Senyora in favor of a unity government in which Hezbollah has a much larger role. Hezbollah leaders say Senyora must leave within a few days or face an escalating campaign to oust him, but he is vowing to remain in office. France and Britain plan to introduce a revised UN Security Council draft resolution today, imposing sanctions on Iran for refusing to suspend its uranium enrichment program with a vote in the next 2 weeks. But whether Russia and China will accept the new text is unclear. Either of them can veto the proposal. China has announced that the long-stalled six-party talks on North Korea's nuclear program will resume in Beijing on December the 18th. Another typhoon swept through the Philippines today, killing at least four, stranding thousands, and disrupting power lines and communication links. The Space Shuttle Discovery docks with the International Space Station, and that's later today. This is the Quality News Network. A look at science and business news is up next.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to 1 million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Another E. coli outbreak, this one in Iowa, but it is not connected to Taco Bell's, but to another taco chain. Meanwhile, authorities are still trying to pinpoint the source of the E. coli cases in the Northeast, which are connected to Taco Bell's and which sickened more than 60 people in late November. The J. Paul Getty Museum in Los Angeles has announced that it will return an ancient gold wreath and a marble bust to Greece, items that Greece authorities claim were illegally excavated and removed from the country. The wreath dates back to 400 BC, the statue to 600 BC. Dubai Ports World selling its U.S. port operations to a unit of American International Group after giving up control of them to soften concerns about domestic security. There's no word on the sale price. Travelocity may be sold this week. The New York Times says the travel website's parent company, Sabre Holdings, is talking with a consortium of private equity firms. Price tag, about $4 billion. The Sunday Times of London reports that the bidding for the Aston Martin unit of Ford Motor Company could reach $1.2 billion. Light sweet crude oil at $61.84 a barrel. That's down 19 cents. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 27 points, 12,334. NASDAQ up 12 points. S&P 500 up 4. There's more on QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show, the show that asks the all-important question, hey, you gonna eat that? And now, back again for another hour of truth and fury, here's the man your bosses hate, the voice of the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio.
All right, thank you, Bob. We're back here on the show, and I was glad we had Sarge on, because, you know, that is such a hugely important issue, the issue of Katrina, because it says a lot about how we deal with things in this country and George Bush's America, and the government can do no wrong, or can do no right, and private industry can do no wrong era of this country. And we've actually had that particular question asked on several occasions, and usually, you know, it's usually the answer is obvious, that the corporations can and do screw things up quite a bit, and if you work for a big corporation, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And, you know, I look at that, and I mentioned my job earlier. I make $9.50 an hour, and I don't really have a particularly stressful job. I mean, some bad stuff happens sometimes, nothing real serious. But I work a lot. I don't work anywhere near as hard as someone who works at, say, McDonald's, who makes minimum wage or not much more than that, $7-$8 an hour. I really don't know anybody who makes minimum wage. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there. And I hear people talk about illegals making, you know, money and stuff like that, and I really don't have a problem with people coming to this country to make a better life for themselves. You know, Schlesinger, who was the actual Republican candidate in the Connecticut runoff, as opposed to the Republican that won, Joe Lieberman, because he won by, you know, mostly Republican votes. At any rate, any Democrat in Connecticut who voted for Joe Lieberman, shame on you. What are you thinking? But what were you thinking? At any rate, he was the one. I'm the true conservative in this country. I'm the one who wants to build fences and keep the illegals out. And how dare people come into this country to want to make a better life for themselves? Think about that. How dare people come into this country to want to make a better life for themselves? Or for no other reason than to make a better life for themselves? Can you think of a better reason, ladies and gentlemen? Can you think of a better reason? What other reason could you possibly have to want to move out of a place where your life may be in danger? And you know, I read a news article about how it was on the blogosphere, of course, because that's where you're going to get most of the real news. But I read a report where Iraq has, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who need to leave the country, and yet because of ridiculous policies set up by the Bush administration and by the immigration people, we're only allowed to let in 500 people a year, Iraqis. And these are people who are escaping a chaos that we were directly causing. And you would think that somebody would step up and say, well, you know, maybe we should bring them into this country. We help ruin their lives. At the very least, the least that we could do is we can bring them in here and let them live in peace in here. But that's not going to happen. You know, and America has a long history of that sort of thing. I mean, let's face it, we killed Indians and we took their land, and then we screwed over the settlers sometimes when they, you know, in their situations. We took Chinese workers and, you know, did a lot of forced labor to make them work on the railroads, or, you know, underpaid them. There was slavery, there was economic oppression. And disasters like what happened at the Triangle Waist Shirt Factory, where the place burned and dozens of people lost their lives. I think something like 90, 100 people lost their lives, maybe more. I don't remember. I'm not good with those kind of numbers, but the fact of the matter is a lot of people died. And the reason why they died is because they couldn't get out. And the reason why they couldn't get out of the place when it caught fire is because the door was locked. And the reason why the door was locked was because the bosses didn't want anybody leaving early. This is one of the famous sweatshops in New York. And it was one of those, it was incidents like that, along with books like Jacob Rees' How the Other Half Lives, and Upton Sinclair's The Jungle, much later on, that came much later on, that helped form liberal policy in this country. And people bitch about, you know, New York being all these, you know, all those liberal New Yorkers. You know, there's a reason that New York became the way it was. It's because as a purely capitalist city, and New York was founded for no other reason than pure capitalism. What was it, the history people said that they didn't even have a church for the first few years? of its existence. It was founded completely and totally by the Dutch. New Amsterdam was the original name, I believe, for the purpose of making money. And they were the first to see the effects of unbridled capitalism. And a lot of New Deal policy and a lot of liberal policies that we take for granted today came out of what happened in New York and other big cities, of course, but New York in particular. And I was thinking about Huddle House, which I really need to know more about. I got to take out a book on Jane Addams, the great progressive leader who's known here for her work here in Chicago. And one of the things that Huddle House and other of these programs did wasn't just helping people out economically, but there were social things that they did. They put on dances, and they would go and just visit with people's homes and just sit and talk with them and have a good time, not talking about politics, not trying to get them to give them money. Just go to their house and talk to them. Be sociable. Be social. And I think we need more of that. I think if we had more of that in this country, we'd be more aware. And you know, Sarge was talking about the apathy of a lot of people, even in Mississippi, about what's going on in Katrina. And a lot of that is because we are so self-involved and we're greedy isn't really the right word in that case, because it's not that the rest of the people down there are greedy for money. They just we got our own stuff going on. It's a shame what's going on, but you know, I got other stuff going on, and I feel bad because sometimes I feel the same way. I mean, I'm here in Chicago. I'm not down there in Mississippi helping out, because frankly, I have no idea what I would do down there. And I've worked very hard to get my life together to the point where it is now. And I feel bad about that, because quite frankly, I do feel a sense of duty and obligation to do something, but. Frankly, I'm just one step away from being in their same situation. And while it gets pretty cold in Mississippi, I'm glad it doesn't get as cold as it gets here in Chicago when it gets cold. Because it does get cold up here. It was in the teens over the weekend. Nice brisk weather. And if you had to live in a trailer in conditions like that, you would be in bad shape. It's bad enough if the temperature is like 30 something degrees. Which is right around freezing. When you're well below the freezing level, it gets really, really nasty. They have had 4 or 5 deaths here in Chicago linked to the cold. But I think we're not as social as we used to be. You know, it used to be when people bought a house, they bought a house because that's where they wanted to live. And they wanted to raise their families there, and they wanted to be part of the community. Okay, it wasn't always perfect. I mean, you still have your little local fascists running around. You have them today with these little local neighborhood community things. And you know what I'm talking about if you understand what I'm saying. If that made any sense. people with their little rules about who you can have or what kind of decorations and stuff you're allowed to have, things like that. I'm not talking about Christmas decorations, but, you know, you got to keep the lawn clean, lawn mowed, or you get a ticket, you know, that sort of stuff. But nowadays, a lot of people, and the reason that stuff goes on is because of property rights or property values. People will buy a house and they'll sell it 2 or 3 years later as a profit. You talk about the housing market, right? I'm just kind of, you know, hearing Sarge talk about it, I get angry and depressed at the same time. Well, the depression is anger turned inwards, but I just get angry outwardly and angry at myself for feeling frustrated that I'm not able to do more. And the best I can do, I guess, is to talk about it on the show and talk about it to people where I meet them and let them know that this stuff is still going on. And if that's the best we can do, maybe that's the best we can do. The real best thing we can do is get these SOBs out of office and get people in there who believe in the idea of government. And who will let it work the way it's supposed to work. Why don't you give me a call, 1-877-443-2366, and we can talk about it some more. We've got a Puffy Yamayumi break coming up, and we'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
Hi, my name's Roddy.
And I'm Mike. We're from Faith No More, and we got a real important message for you. We want to tell you to protect your hearing now, because you're going to need it later.
For more information, check out here at the World Wide Web, www.hearnet.com. Hearnet.com.
This is the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show, and I hope you're doing well today. It's the second hour, and the quarter way through the second hour. Boy, shine time sure flies when you're having fun. I was reading the Sideshow earlier today, and I like the Sideshow. That's Sideshow .me.uk. It's run by my good friend Avedon Carroll out there in Great Britain. She's an American who lives in Great Britain, and she has a good take on how Americans are looked at in Great Britain and in other places overseas. Smart lady, and she had a good point. Now, I talked about, you know, getting the Bush people out of office and the war crimes and all that. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, in Germany, there's already some serious talk, and I think files have actually been charged to a certain extent on Donald Rumsfeld and other members of the Bush administration in terms of war crimes. And I think Mr. Bush himself has included that. And I like what she said here, and I'm going to quote her. She said, "I was just thinking this morning that if the European courts were considering war crimes charges against Bill Clinton or a member of his cabinet, the media would probably be talking about it constantly, and the Washington Press Corps would ask Tony Snow what the White House plans to do about it, and Snow would say something to the effect of that it was a grave matter and so on. And the question would not be whether there was justice in the charges, but whether it was appropriate to allow an American president or cabinet minister to be tried in foreign, and whether the U.S. should recognize any authority from such courts. But that question doesn't arise as long as no Democratic administration is so accused. The press corps politely ignores the fact that George W. Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, and Henry Kissinger are all being called war criminals, and there's quite a bit of talk about trying at least Rumsfeld for war crimes. And a third of Americans, including myself, I should say, probably think that the whole administration ought to be in the dock in The Hague." And that's absolutely right. Because, you know, I am one of those people who thinks that Mr. Bush should be tried for war crimes. Not because he's a Republican, and not because he's, you know, a conservative, it's because he lied us into war. I mean, that's some pretty serious stuff. Me, I'm a fairly forgiving person, and I'm willing to cut people a lot of slack. Hell, I'd be very happy if he was just out of office and went back to his damn ranch in Crawford and cut brush the rest of his life. You know, if that's what it takes to get rid of him, I'll be perfectly happy for that. Okay? I mean, I wouldn't be perfectly happy, but it would be acceptable to me, because as many crimes as he committed, at least he wouldn't be committing any more. At least I hope he wouldn't, anyway. And one of the Sunshine and Lollipop Boys who was getting on me about it, see, aren't you happy now that we won the election? And I'm like, man, don't you understand? What would make me happy? What would make me happy is seeing these guys in prison. Behind bars. And seeing a new era of American government where we recognize, finally, that we are a neighbor in the world community. A great nation among other great free nations. And not the biggest bully on the block who thinks because he can out-muscle everybody else that he can do whatever he wants. And we're learning the hard way that we can't do it militarily. I could have told you that. I mean, you would think after Vietnam, we would have learned our lesson, right? And quite frankly, I was, you know, the biggest thing that I talked about when before, as the run-up to war was coming, and I knew war was coming. I knew there was going to be anything anybody could do about it. But my attitude was, what's the rush? I mean, the Bush people were talking about, we got to go to war right now. And what it sounded to me like, it was like a sales pitch for a guy who knew it was a crooked deal and he wanted to get it over with because it would be easier to fight with the guy after the fact than it would be to get the deal closed and get the money for it right away. And I always said, you know, the Soviet Union had a lot more military power and definite, you know, weapons of mass destruction. And yet we manage to hold them in check for 40 years. Why do we have to wait 2 months? Right? We can't wait a few months for the inspectors to work before, you know, before we go to war. And as I pointed out earlier in the show, it was George Bush to kick the inspectors out of Iraq, not Saddam Hussein. So how bad do things have to get before we really start to take these options seriously? You wonder about that. Because while there are 30% of us who think that, you know, Mr. Bush and his administration ought to be at least tried for crimes, if not actually convicted, because I certainly think that there's enough evidence out there for a conviction. And there's probably another good 20 or 30% who think George Bush is nothing short of the second coming. Maybe not that far, but, you know, they go, well, you know, he's a religious person. So therefore, he won't do anything bad. Because he's a God-fearing person. You're just like me. And that's a pretty sad statement right now. It's in the other, you know, 40% or so. They're just kind of like, look, I just want to go shopping, okay? It's Christmas, I just want to go shopping. I don't want to know about it. And that's where the real problem lies. Now, the reason why we won this last election is because a lot of these people who were kind of sort of on the fence jumped over it against Mr. Bush. It's like, I had enough. And the Bush people, you know, so taken with themselves, so busy being full of themselves, failed to understand this. Some of the local politicians saw the polls and were really nervous, and, you know, Rove and Bush were like, ah, no problems, we got to handle. You know, and this is why it bugs me when the Sunshine and Lollipops are, aren't you happy yet? No, I'm not happy yet. And don't you understand why I was saying what I was saying? There was significant cheating going on. We just had enough votes to overcome it this time. That's not going to happen all the time. And I've written letters to the New York Times. If you go to my blog, cupofjoe.blogspot.com. Hang on a second. Excuse me. I wrote a letter to the New York Times because I had an article about electoral problems. especially out in Florida, where 18,000 votes got missing. And by the way, Governor Dean, the head of the Democratic National Committee, is calling for a complete re-election in that area. Good for him. I wrote basically saying, look, you know, and all of you know what my basic stance is if you listen to the show regularly. This is what I want. I don't want to hear, first of all, I don't want to hear the term paper-verified voter, you know, voter-verified paper trail. I don't want to hear that. These are the words that I want to hear. Paper ballot. Paper ballot. Not a voter trail. I don't want to use the machines for anything. Maybe you can pick the candidates but have it print out a ballot, so long as a paper ballot. Okay? And that paper ballot is the official ballot of record. Don't count them on the machine first and use the paper for a backup. No. The paper ballot has to be the official ballot of record. This ballot should be counted by hand, in full public view, at the precinct where it was cast. Want to say cast? Said cashed. I wish there were checks so we could cash them, get money. Hey, vote for money. Although, that's happened a few times in this country. Excuse me. And along with that, you need a clear chain of custody for these ballots so that there's no tampering with them. I always kind of envisioned the ballot box in the middle of the room and the little voting areas in a circle around it with maybe like 15 or 20 feet separation, so that when someone finishes voting, they have to go up to the ballot and place the ballot in the box. And that box goes nowhere. And when the polls are officially closed, and maybe you have cameras all over the place too, just for recording purposes. And they go in there, and they open the box right there, and they count them right there, with as many people watching as you can get in the room, with enough distance, of course, to keep anybody from getting in there and dealing with stuff. And you make it very clear, this is a vote for the Democrat, this is a vote for the Republican, or this is a vote for so-and-so, this is a vote for so-and-so, and they count them that way. Now, they're being counted in the precincts. The reason why there was a lot of corruption in with the boxes before is because the boxes would travel from the precinct to where they would be counted. That needs to be stopped. Count them in the precincts. Have a camera. Then when they finish, okay, we have 100 votes for so-and-so, 200 votes for so-and-so, 50 votes for this person, blah, 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 blah. And they phone those things in, or they have another way of communicating. You know, maybe they'll do it via camera like that. I don't know. They say, these are what we have. And then that goes to the next level, which I guess is the district level. And they say, okay, these precincts, blah, 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 they count this. So we total up from all the different precincts. This is what we get. These are our totals for this candidate. These are our totals for that candidate. Then it goes on to the county level or whatever the next level. I don't really know specifically where it goes like that. The state to county to state level, district to county to state level. And then everything is totaled up from there. It's really not that difficult. And it goes to show what kind of state our democracy is in, that this very simple, very accurate method, no one wants to talk about. Paper-verified voter trail, my ass. Until these things are fixed, these problems are going to happen. You got an opinion on this? We got a half an hour left, so you're running out of time to get in on the action. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. We'll be back with the last half hour on the Cup of Joe radio show here in the Head On Radio Network.
The Native American Journalists Association is calling out to tomorrow's reporters, photographers, editors, and publishers to represent Native perspectives.
Today's agreement allows the Nebraska State Patrol and Winnebago Tribal Police to share enforcement.
The tribe is taking its concerns to the Bureau of Reclamation, which manages and
Native American inmates have filed suit against the prison.
Go to NAJA.com to learn more about membership and benefits. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
Did you know the University of Nebraska is a virtual world leader in the field of distance education? And that they bring highly interactive learning right into the homes of students in all 93 Nebraska counties, all 50 states, and 135 countries around the world using the latest computer website technology? I guess the lesson here is, no matter where you live, there's no place like Nebraska. The University of Nebraska, Lincoln.
Homeland Security advisories are at the highest levels. If you have a disability or special need, you may have to take additional steps to protect yourself and your household in the event of an emergency. Contact your local Office of Emergency Management or Fire Department to find out about special assistance that may be available in your community. Go to www.floridadisaster.org for more information. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Broadcasters, and this radio station.
This is the Head-On Radio Network, The Horn.
All right, let's dance. We've got a half an hour left in the show. And again, the number to call in is 1-877-443-2366. And I'll say to my Brooklyn accent, 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. What are you talking about? Call up, huh? Or my bad Italian accent. What's the matter for you, huh? My bad Italian accent. What's the matter for you? Huh? Why you not call? I am a city here day in and day out, and you never call to me, huh? I've got the hundreds and hundreds of children, and not once do they call to me, huh? What's the matter for you? You got no respect. That's what's wrong with you. You got no respect at all. That'll wake you up. So what was I talking about? To get back to what I was actually saying about in Europe, how they're talking about trying Mr. Rumsfeld at the very least for war crimes, and make no mistake about it, these are war criminals. And I'm not, you know, and again, you know, look, after 9/11, okay, if Mr. Bush had gotten with the country and said, you know what, maybe I was in over my head before. I've seen the error of my ways. I'm going to do everything I can to make up for it. We're going to do what we can to seriously combat terrorism. And we're going to do what we can to make America a better place and to bring a better life to the people of the Middle East and Iraq and everywhere else in the world. Because that's the only real way to fight terrorism, is to make the world a better place. Because the only reason terrorism reigns is in that sense, Islamic terrorism or Christianist terrorism, is because people feel a sense of powerlessness about their lives that other people tap into. And if Mr. Bush had done that, I would have been all for it. I would have been his biggest supporter. because it's not about George W. Bush. And that's what people don't seem to understand when you try to talk about this issue. It's not about George. It's not about what's good for George W. Bush. It's not about what's good for Dick Cheney. It's not about what's good for the Republican Party. It's about what's good for America. And in a bigger sense, it's what's better about the good for the human race. It's about what's good for the human race. And that's what Lincoln was talking about in the Gettysburg Address. Because he was talking about, in general, about the American Civil War, but he was talking in an overall way about saving not just the Union, but saving the human race. Saving it from the worst aspect of itself. Because like I told Sarge, look, you know, the thing about it is there's always been guys like George W. Bush, and there always will be. And I'm not saying that I don't have a problem with that, because I really do feel badly that we generate people like that, but there's nothing you can do about it as far as, you know, them existing. I mean, they have a right to exist. What you got to do is you got to keep them out of power. And it says something about our country that we allowed someone like that to get into power in the first place. And a lot of people have responsibility for that. The Christianist, and let me explain that there's a difference between being a Christian and a Christianist. Christianism, as others have pointed out, I think Digby was the one that coined that phrase, but even if he wasn't, you know, that's cool. That's the political wing of the Christian Party, just like Islamist is the political wing of Islam. Because you know something? I live here on near Devon Avenue in Chicago. There's a lot of Indians, a lot of Pakistanis, a lot of Muslims that live up here. And you know what? They live perfectly peacefully. I have no problem with them. I never have. I go into their stores, I buy their food, I meet them on the street, I say hi to them. They're very friendly, very nice people. They don't know I'm an agnostic, and whether they're Muslim or not, it doesn't really matter to me. They're just people, like everybody else. They're just people. There's no car bombs up here, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, we have Indians and Pakistanis living in close quarters to each other. You know, they're practically at war with each other. They've hated each other for ages. Land and cultural differences. But here they get along wonderfully. Because the problem isn't the Islamic people. The problem is people who take advantage of people's fears, people who seek power and who are willing to do anything to get it. And it happens in this country just as much as it happens otherwise. Just because it's Christian rather than Muslim doesn't make a difference. Excuse me. The psychology is still the same. And that's important to understand. I'm not so much anti-Republican just because I say, oh, he's a Republican, he must be bad. No. Because not all Republicans were bad anyway. Lincoln was certainly one of our greatest presidents, if not the greatest. He's certainly up there, and he's always mentioned up there as one of our great presidents. I have a lot of respect for Theodore Roosevelt. You know, Theodore Roosevelt was a soldier and to a certain extent a warmonger in his own right. He wanted to build a canal, and he was willing to do a lot of chicanery in order to get that done. Was it rude? Was it greedy? Was it illegal? Maybe. But on the other hand, he was also a guy that did a lot for progressive issues. People are contradictions sometimes, you know? But it's about what's best for the human race in the long run. And, you know, organized religion is part of it, too. And, again, it has nothing to do with belief in God or you know, atheism versus non-atheism. It's just a question of organized religion and doctrine. Because once you get started down that path to organized religion, you know, with the organized religion, it sooner or later winds up with flying airplanes in the buildings. If you take it to extremes. And don't tell me that Christians don't take it to extremes. And Sarge was telling me he was railing at the local church to go down there and help those people. And he didn't really say if any of them did or not. And if they didn't, shame on them. Because, you know, if you talk about a case of what would Jesus do, I think that would be pretty damn clear cut. Jesus would have been down there, just as Jesus would be in the Philippines for those typhoons down there. And with the tsunami victims out in, what was it, Sri Lanka? Wherever it was that got hit by that huge tsunami. That's what Jesus would do. That's where Mother Teresa spent most of her life in that type of situation. And you got people who are saying that she's going to hell simply because she didn't believe in the same doctrine that they did, even though she was a Christian herself. It's outrageous. That's outrageous. And Mother Teresa was a Catholic, and the Catholic Church certainly is no stranger to problems with crime and other things. And the Catholic Church has been responsible for a lot of, you know, bad nastiness going throughout the world. And we don't just talk about the Crusades, which were about as bad as you can get, but, you know, their tacit support or kind of underlying support for the Nazi regime, that in the 40s. A lot of people don't know this, actually. This had nothing to do with really anything, but it was Mussolini that created the country of the Vatican. He made it its own little country. And what was it that the Nazis wore in their belt buckles? Gott in mit uns, which means God is with us. Because they really believed that God was on their side. That's where you run into problems. And as far as spiritual stuff is concerned, you know, as far as I'm concerned, organized religion gets in the way of truth-seeking. Because it gets caught up in its doctrines, and then its power struggles. I mentioned the history of the Byzantine Empire, and again, I'm not a professional historian. I'm just an amateur historian. But it was just remarkable reading this book, you know, and the guy was singing the praises, you know, in a kind of, you know, backhanded way about Christianity. And meanwhile, the whole book is just who killed who to become emperor, who in turn was killed by somebody else to become emperor, and who declared war on who and converted so many people. Is that what we really want? Digby mentioned the post earlier and talking about, you know, conservatism and stuff like that, and the religious part is part of that, saying what the ultimate goal of conservatism is to create an aristocracy, a group of people who are supposedly better than everybody and therefore have the right to rule over everybody else. And it's the conservatives that supported the war for the most part. You know, there were a few liberal hawks who tried to, you know, ingratiate themselves to the conservatives by saying, maybe this is a good... And, of course, there was their own little egos and their own little, you know, oh, boy, here's my chance to be Edward R. Murrow. Oh-do-do-do-do-do. I just got word from our producer that Jim Yancey would be available for Friday, so we're looking forward to talking to him on Friday, because I do want to talk more about this. Because as Sarge said, he went down there to those people to basically shame him into help, and I wonder if they really did anything to help out. What would Jesus do? I'll tell you, if Jesus was walking around today like he was walking around a couple of thousand years ago, he wouldn't stop throwing up from all the things that are being done in his name. And again, I'm no expert on the Bible, but correct me if I'm wrong, but the only time that Jesus got angry was when he was throwing the moneylenders out of the temple. Is that correct? He turned over the tables that they were using the church to make money? I don't pretend to have any special knowledge of an afterlife. I don't pretend to have any special knowledge about God and greater truth. I'm just a guy, okay? I'm just. I don't even want to say an average guy because I don't know if I believe in that phraseology, but you know what I'm talking about. I don't have any special gifts. But even I can tell that Mr. Robertson and Mr. Falwell and all these other people are just full of it. We got the last 15 minutes to go here. We're almost done. Give me a call if you want to get in any action for the last 10 minutes or so. 1-877-443-2366. And we'll be back with the final segment of the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here for the last 10 minutes or so of the Cup of Joe radio show. And Mark Levine will be on next on all of your Head On Radio Networks. On the Head On Radio Network. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, ladies and gentlemen. The place for liberal talk radio, along with our friends at Air America Radio.com. Before I forget, for those of you who, if you missed the show or if you can't listen to the show live, the show is archived on the White Rose Society. That's whiterosesociety.org. And you can listen to my shows and all of the shows here on the Head On Radio Network. All the back shows are archived by my good friend Ben Birch out there. And if you go to the site, Ben has a his quarterly fundraiser going on. And please help him reach his goal, because the White Rose Society does some wonderful work. Just go to whiterosesociety.org and click on the donations. And they do just great work. And, you know, all of us here at the Head On Network, and I've said this before and I say it again, we're not doing this like the right wing because we're in it for the money, okay? I mean, Sean Hannity didn't want to get on radio because he believed in the cause so much, and he knew that if he did a good enough job, he was getting paid a ton of money for doing it. And Hannity and Limbaugh and Neil Bortz and all these other scumbags out there, they make tons of dough. Me, I don't get a dime from it. Well, I get a couple of dollars here and there. And pretty much everybody else in the Head On Radio Network, we do it because we feel compelled to do this. Do you understand me? We feel compelled for this. Because we think things are so wrong in this country. Things are so bad. And if this is all we can do, this is all I can do, then that's what I can do. You know, I mean, I get active in politics how I can. I've done work for lobbying groups. I've done work for candidates. I'm not the best person in the world for it, but I do the best I can. Okay? And I urge everybody to do more than just vote. And what Ben does is a tremendous service to all of us here. Because, you know, Hannity and Limbaugh and all these people, they don't archive their shows. And a part of the reason why they do that is that way they can't get caught when they tell one of their lies. Then they can lie about the lies that they told. Say, I didn't really say that. So, we got a recording of here of you saying that. And that's one of the great things about the blogosphere. Bush recently said, we've never been a stay the course. And then they showed something like 50 times, 60 times, where he just said, stay the course, 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 stay the course. So, but next, like I said, next on this head on the Head On Radio Network is Mark Levine. And yes, it will be a live show. And we look forward to it. The Inside Scoop is one of our better shows here. Well, they're all great shows, you know. All of us. My friend Guy James, Bob Kincaid, of course, with Head On Radio in the evenings. Bruce Birch, John Fox, Mark Levine, everybody. We all do such wonderful jobs here in the Head On Radio Network. And, I do the best I can. And, I work for a living, so sometimes if my shows aren't, as spiffy and as well researched as other shows, well, I'm sorry. I do the best I can. If the time ever comes that I can do this full time, and I don't require a lot, I don't need a 6-figure salary. I'd be very happy with something, Well, if we ever get a sponsor and things like that, it would make me very happy, Because, like I said, I do this because I feel compelled to do this. I'm not in this to make a quick buck. And I'm very happy for all of the fans out there and everybody who's listening. And the people on the Head On chat room. And I forgot to mention them today. See, that's what I'm talking about. I am not organized. But that's okay. Because you know what? Sometimes when you get this kind of free flow of ideas, things work a little bit better. That's interesting. Ben Birch is telling me that I got a mention from someone calling Mike Malloy the other day, which is interesting. I used to work for Mike Malloy some years ago. It was after he was leaving Atlanta, and in fact he was heading up here to Chicago, and I did some work for him for a while, and I'm glad he's still on the air. I mean, he got let go from Air America Radio, but I'm glad he's with he's with Nova M. Is that correct? Am I right in saying that? Does anybody out there in producer chat know? But I'm glad he's still working, and Mike and Kathy, and they're a wonderful little kid. And Mike is like 600 years old, and he just had a daughter, or his wife just had a daughter, and that's remarkable. Gives me hope. I'm wondering if I'm ever going to have a son. My wife passed away last year, and she couldn't have kids. She was incapable of it, and she was always remorseful, saying, "I wish I could give you some kids of my own," because she had 3 kids from a former marriage. And I'm like, "Kathy, I don't think I can handle kids," to be perfectly honest. And I probably would be a bad father. But it's an intriguing idea, and. Changing the subject along those lines, I was one of the things I was doing over the weekend when I had some free time I was goofing on YouTube, and I came across, in fact, I think the entire series is up there, a show called Maison Ikkoku, which is an anime show, Japanese cartoons, if you're not familiar with that. And it's one of my favorites of the anime shows, and really it's just a sitcom about a bunch of people who live in a boarding house. And, The main characters. Now it's being told that it wasn't a thing for me. It was for Mark Levine. Okay, that's nice too. At any rate, the two main characters are Kyoko and Godai. And Kyoko is the lady manager of the place, and she is a widow, and she's making a new life for herself. And sometimes I kind of feel like she does, because I'm a widower and I moved up here to Chicago to make a new life for myself, and it's very difficult. Because I'm not a particularly rich guy. I came up here with practically nothing, and it's only because of my friend Thane that I was able to come up here in the first place and live in a fairly nice place now. And I'm very happy to have what I have. I have a good job, not a great job, but I can pay the bills. And I'm in the same situation that a lot of people are in. Just one step away from being homeless, really, and just kind of hanging on by my fingernails. And it's because of that experience I feel the need to come out here, because I feel I need to speak out for people like me, and there are millions of people like me. I'm hardly unique in any way, shape, or form. And I feel the need that we should have a voice. Because we don't really have a voice. Among a lot of the left-wingers, a lot of the professional ones anyway, they really have no clue. And they talk about their own little things. And they're the ones who say, well, it's a shame about the people of Katrina, but what do you want me to do about it? I've got $50,000 in the bank, but I want to use that for buying a new car. Getting a new yacht. And that's what I talk about when I talk about the self-centeredness of people. And I was watching, just watching Maisoni Koku and watching that whole thing play out. It's 96 episodes, and at the end they get married. And I was thinking, you know, and just looking at it in terms of Japanese society, which is fairly insular, but, you know, this was done in like the 80s or so. And the Japanese, you know, live in a kind of little bubble of their own. Their own thing going on. And they're kind of a mix of socialism and capitalism. It's a very interesting society. I've never had the words to quite describe it. But that was, you know, that was just their life. Those are the stories that I like the most. You know, stories about people. Yeah, I like my science fiction. I like my action adventure from time to time. That's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that too. But what I like most about stories are about people. Norman Jewison, the wonderful producer, talked about that when he accepted his Lifetime Oscar. He said, you know, just write stories. Just write stories. And I think me telling my story about, you know, what's going on with my life, I think it helps people know out there that they're not alone, that they're not facing these situations alone. And it helps me to hear about people who overcome adversity, because it helps me to learn that I'm not alone too. And by doing this show, maybe I can put some confidence into some people that they're not alone, that there's people out there that think like they do, that believe the same things, that worry not so much about the state of the country, but about the state of the world and about the state of people. Are we worthy of surviving? Will we survive? Will we overcome the dark part of our nature to become better and to grow? Not just as individual people, but as a race, as a human race. Will we stop looking at things in terms of color and religion and gender and start looking at the more important things? I'm not perfect, you know? I'm not claiming I'm perfect. Again, that's another difference between me and the right-wingers. They like to put themselves up as models of modern moral clarity, and I'm not. I've made mistakes. I've done things in my life that I regret. Not stuff I necessarily want to talk about. I mean, there's one thing about regretting something, another thing about just blurting it all out on the air. But the point is, I don't want everybody here thinking that I'm trying to say that I'm better than you, because I'm not better than anybody. And nobody here in the Head On Radio Network is that way either. We're not all, you know, wonderfully, perfect people. We're not all saints. We all have our flaws. But we do the best we can with the gifts that we're given. Whereas a right-winger will tell you something different. A Bortz or a Limbaugh or a Hannity will tell you that you have to listen to them. Listen, the show's about over. I've just rambled on long enough. And we'll be back on Friday, and we're going to have Jim Yancey, the Sarge's friend from out there. But I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Bob Kincaid and Agnes Kincaid. I want to thank Zach for doing a great job producing here today and the Head On Radio Network. Mark Levine is coming up next on the Head On Radio Network. And until then, there's nothing more to see here. Get back to work.
Joe, I crave a plate of Dave, oh, and a jar of Joan. Don't put anything on, I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of Steve. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scott, heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick, that'll do. Every trace of a carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray. I'll lick a spoon of Sean. Do I need to go on?
President Bush has opened 3 days of consultations on Iraq, meeting today with senior officials of the State Department, as well as historians and former generals in the Oval Office. Tomorrow, he'll be talking via video conference with senior military commanders in Iraq, followed by a White House visit from Iraq's vice president. And on Wednesday, he meets with officials at the Pentagon. He's promised to unveil a new strategy on Iraq before Christmas. Three more American soldiers were killed there today, victims of a roadside bomb which hit their military combat patrol in northern Baghdad. The three deaths bring to 46 the number of U.S. military who have died during the month of December. Iraqi President Jalal Talabani, a Kurd, is rejecting the Iraq study report, saying its recommendations are an insult to the people of Iraq and dangerous to the country's sovereignty and constitution. Hamas is denying responsibility for a drive-by shooting today which killed three children of a senior Palestinian intelligence officer who is a loyalist of President Abbas's Fatah movement and a Hamas critic. Hundreds of thousands of Hezbollah supporters rallied in downtown Beirut yesterday, calling for the resignation of Lebanese Prime Minister Fouad Sniora, but he is vowing to remain in office. Meanwhile, the Arab League, which is trying to end the standoff between rival factions in Lebanon, says Syria has now agreed to help. In a reversal of position, the Pentagon now saying it will not be building a $102 million compound at Guantanamo Bay for war crimes trials. It was going to fast-track the complex by using emergency powers to bypass congressional approval, but now says it's decided to cancel those plans due to concerns about the location and the costs. China has announced that the long-stalled international talks on North Korea's nuclear program, the so-called Six-Nation talks, will resume in Beijing on December 18th. Former Chilean dictator Augusto Pinochet, who died yesterday of heart failure at the age of 91, will be denied a state funeral and instead will have a military funeral tomorrow at the Santiago Military Academy. Current Chilean President Michelle Bachelet says that a state funeral would be inappropriate for the man who brutally ruled Chile for 17 years and whose regime reportedly tortured and killed more than 3,000 political prisoners, including her father. Seattle-Tacoma International Airport has removed 9 decorated Christmas trees.